It was quite early in the morning when people were brought out to be crucified. They were taken there as these two men that we've read about tonight, who were crucified on either side of the Lord Jesus. They were taken and nailed to the cross there, and then after a time, someone would come along and break their legs. Seems like a heinous thing to do, but they did that because the doing of that would affect the flow of blood to their heart and would bring about death quite quickly. And therefore, they would not be still alive and hanging on the cross the next day, which after the crucifixion day was looked upon here on this occasion as a Jewish holy day or a high day. So they were nailed to the cross and their legs were broken, and in a very quick time they were out in eternity. These two individuals that are at Calvary with the Lord, I'm sure you've thought of them from time to time. And you've heard of the man who is referred to as the penitent thief. You will not find anything in him that would have commended him to God. He didn't have any claim to moral character. He, it seems, was irreligious, and he did not have any concern, even as he was being led out to Calvary, and I'll explain that in a moment. But there was mercy for him. As I said, he was irreligious. He had no argument to provide regarding why he should be spared. And yet God saved him. And in the short time after that he had on earth, he was there as a trophy of grace. The Lord said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And I think those words in verse 41 that we read together really sum up the thinking in this man's mind as change came about. He says, "We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man," referring to the Lord Jesus, "hath done nothing amiss." There is, in this story before us, one of the most amazing examples of God's grace and mercy. I mentioned to you earlier that this man, even as he was being led to the cross, that even then he had no time for the Lord. Well, over there in Matthew's Gospel on chapter 27, regarding the very same situation, that is Calvary, it says in verse 44, "The thieves also," the both of them, "the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." Soldiers were poking fun and mocking and saying, "If you're the king, come down, save, you saved others, save yourself. If you trust in God, let him deliver you now." And both of these men were just doing the same as the soldiers gathered around Mount Calvary were doing. And yet in a very short space of time, everything was changed. And I want to say this evening, folks, that everything was changed just in time. Because we have here, and this is the title tonight, snatched from the jaws of hell. Snatched from the jaws of hell. Whenever the Lord said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," I want to say first of all that his saying that supported his teaching here on earth. Whenever we gather in congregations, occasionally we sing that hymn, "Come to the Savior make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. And people can gather in a meeting like this or in a tent, and they can sing it quite heartily. But in their own heart, they're quite skeptical, perhaps, concerning this very truth. Because God will come along as he did to me before, Satan will come along as he did to me before, and I'm sure to others here, and he will whisper in your ear. Whatever reason it may be, he will bring that before you, why you cannot be saved right now. There's a girl one time, I don't know where she is now, but many years ago she was involved with the Free Presbyterian Church. And this was something that she struggled with time and again when she went to meetings. Hearing of Christ's ability to save her, and how she needed to come, and how she could come. But there was always this other voice that brought to her attention the way that she had been living, and how her lifestyle had made a huge impact, for all the wrong reasons, upon her family and her friends and her whole reputation. But eventually, she came and she trusted the Lord, and she proved the teaching of God's word, the teaching of Christ here on earth. Think of the words again that we often repeat: as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, because that is what he promised to do. And this man at the 11th hour, who has just a few moments ago been swearing at Christ, been mocking him, been making light of the fact that he talked about God as his father, this man is completely turned around, snatched from the jaws of hell, because soon he'd be dead. And we look at this and we see that it supported his teaching. And thinking of that title, how this supported his teaching when he was here on earth, we think about how this man was openly rebellious. Many people, when they're in a situation similar to what he is in, they become quite subdued. During this past week, perhaps you will have read, if you read any American news, I'm not suggesting that you do that. It's up to you whether you do or not. Occasionally I look to see what's happening, how things are with Mr. Trump, and how things are in America. And there's a man who'd been in death row for quite a while, who was executed in Texas this past week. He deserved it for what he had done, beaten an elderly aunt to death with a bat. But the closer it come to the time, he was admitting that he needed to change as far as a person was concerned, but he pleaded with the governor for mercy, and he didn't get any. And I think it was Thursday, perhaps, maybe it was Wednesday, I'm not sure, that he was executed by lethal injection. And there was a man who was heinously guilty of what he had done, and yet in his talking he tried to speak to those who were in the judicial system and to have them think in a way that he didn't deserve judgment. That's the way he was behaving. This man didn't even do that. This man didn't even do that when he was on the cross. Rather than looking and exploring every avenue and grasping at every straw for some kind of peace or comfort or assurance, he was busy, as we looked over in Matthew 27, casting the same in the Savior's teeth. He was openly rebellious. And men and women, even later on here in verse 41, he openly admits that he's here and he deserves to be here. He says, and indeed we justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He's openly rebellious. About 4 miles or so from where I was brought up, there was a man who, he had an awful reputation years ago. And he worked hard. And then he drank hard. And his wife with the family for many years had very serious struggles in just getting food onto the table. And almost everywhere that that man went to drink, which was often, he was fighting as well. I mean fist fighting. And stirring up trouble. And his reputation was one of being a man who was nothing but trouble. He didn't care. He didn't care what anyone thought. And he was in a similar situation just to this man. And he was on that broad road that leads to eternal destruction. Then one night, he realized that it was time for change. And on the phone, in a conversation with the Christian led him to the Lord. He's gone to glory now. But in the time that remained for him, he lived for the glory of God. He had been openly rebellious and he come to the Lord. But let me tell you another story. Also here in Northern Ireland, a man, and I'm not even sure if he's still living or not, but there was a man who was a gospel preacher, a minister, and he was associated with this family, and the mother had died, and the father was there with, there were several girls and one boy in the family, and there was one of the girls in particular, and whether it was the effect of the mother having passed away, I cannot say, but on more than one occasion the minister had to stop on the roadside and get out and pick that young girl up, sometimes soaking wet, not fit to stand on her feet, full of drink, and to take her and to bring her home to her father. And she'd been told the gospel. And she'd been warned about the danger of continuing in sin, just as we seek to warn you of that danger tonight, to unsaved person. And this happened over several years, this kind of lifestyle. And then one day, this minister got the news that she'd been pulled out of the river. He was asked to take part in her funeral. And he said that it was really, really hard. Because as he took part in her funeral service, he couldn't help thinking of the words that she always sung when he gathered her up full of alcohol. And here's what she used to sing to him. She used to sing, "Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message blessed Savior to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother, I'll be there." And she's not, because she was pulled out of a local river full of alcohol. I wonder what you're going to do tonight as you consider this man. This man who was snatched from the jaws of hell. When he come to the Lord, you see, this saving of him supported the teaching of the word that the openly rebellious could come. But as I've just illustrated to you, they don't always come. They don't always come. There's something else that you want to notice here, and it is this, that big change can come quickly. It was literally within minutes that this man went from swearing and mocking our Lord to saying to the Lord, regarding the Lord, this man has done nothing amiss. And then saying, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He sees Christ now in a totally different light. Christian, you pray on for your unsaved loved ones. Things can change really quickly. And it's the only hope that they have. It is said of Charles Wesley that when he was in his study one time, that there was a peregrine was chasing a little bird. And the little bird came flying in through the window and hid itself in the folds in Wesley's coat. As he put his hand into the folds in his coat here, and he got the little bird out, and he was thinking of those words that he made into a song. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. An unsaved person, you don't have any other refuge. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will come to him. And big change can come around very quickly. There's something else you notice here. Not only was this man openly rebellious and saved, because the Bible assures us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ's own word was, come unto me, all ye that labor, and there are many tonight laboring under sin who've done so for decades. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It backed up what God's word had said. He can save the openly rebellious if they will come. A big change can come along quickly, but Christ's own word can assure the penitent that it's well with their soul. The Lord Jesus said to this man, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. A place of abundance and beauty and security and eternal happiness. And if you're still out of Christ this evening, we can tell you on the authority of God's word that Christ can save you now. And the heaven that this penitent thief enjoys tonight is every bit as blessed as the heaven of the man or woman who lived to 100 years of age and sought the Lord when they were a little boy or girl of 4 or 5 years old. His heaven is just the same. What a merciful God there is that we're talking to you about this evening. So that's the first thing we notice in this man being snatched from the jaws of hell. His conversion, it supported the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something else I want you to notice here. Not just that his conversion supported the teaching of Christ, there are similarities here with every conversion. Some people are saved in the pulpit of churches. I can think of one young girl, I know where she is now, led her to the Lord, here in this pulpit. Some are saved in their own bedrooms. Some are saved, many have been saved out working in the fields. But there are similarities that are associated with all conversions. The first one is this. Remember now, he's beside the Lord Jesus. He's just been swearing him from a sinful heart. And now the Lord has saved them. What are the similarities? Number one, he saw Christ as hope. He paused listening to all of the mocking that was going on. And he looks to Christ, bleeding and dying. And you see, God is now dealing with this man's heart. And he's removed, the scales from off his eyes. And he sees him now as his only hope. Some commentators believe that there's every possibility that this man, when he was a boy, this thief could have being learned large, taught, he would have learned, I should say, he would have been taught large portions of the Old Testament, including Isaiah 53. And now he was looking to Christ and seeing him in a totally different light. And that is what happens when God takes a dealing with hearts, and we're praying that he'll take a dealing with yours if you're not saved yet. And that you will see him. You will see him as your only hope. But there's something else here, another similarity. Not only did he see Christ as his only hope, he saw Christ as higher, because he says to him, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." 5 minutes ago, he was laughing. When others were saying, "Ask, get God to save you now. Where is he now when you need him?" It's all changed, just like the Apostle Paul. Apostle was consenting, sitting with his arms folded, with a smug look on his face, as they stoned Stephen to death. And yet on the Damascus Road, what a change was brought about when he saw the Lord for who he was, and he says on that occasion, "Lord, what will I have me to do?" You see, whenever this man looked at Christ, he saw him as higher, and in that way he saw him as Redeemer, because he speaks in language here that implies that he realizes there's hope in him, but he realizes there's hope for eternity, because as I said, he mentions the kingdom. Here's a lifeline for him now, the last moments of his life. His reputation was terrible. A wasted life, there's no other way of putting it. And yet he's snatched from the jaws of hell. And how many there are in Northern Ireland who can gladly testify to the guilt of a lifetime being removed by Christ, the only Redeemer of men. And all of the filthy habits and the dishonesty and the sin all being cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. He saw him as Redeemer, but think of something else. He realized that he would rise again, because he knew. He knew that Christ was about to die on the cross. And yet he's saying to him, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He was realizing here that he was dealing with someone that is higher, in that they were the only Redeemer of men, and that they would be raised from the dead. I wonder, did he look at the sign above his head that said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews"? And whatever it was, dear friend, tonight, whatever it was that prompted him, and certainly we believe that it was the work of the Holy Spirit, but in the situation and the scenario that there was there on Calvary, was it the sign? Was it his early teaching? Was it the countenance of the Lord? I cannot say what it was, but I know this. He found the Savior. And in every conversion, wherever people are converted, and whatever age they are, these are similarities. One, they see Christ as their only hope. Augustus Toplady was traveling through the English countryside when there was a very fierce storm came his way, and he went nearby and he found a ledge or a piece of rock that was sticking out, and he managed in the midst of that very severe storm to hide from the worst of the storm. And while he was there, he thought of words that he later put into a song, and you and I sing them. They are, "Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Here's a man, and the clock's ticking away, and he knows that he needs to be hid from the wrath of God, and he is hid. He is hid because he sees Christ as his hope, he sees Christ as higher, but he sees his sin as heinous. A few minutes ago, he loved it. He was reveling in it, and as the blood was pouring from him and his life was ebbing away, he was still reveling in his sinfulness. And now it's all changed. Now it's all changed. He looks in Christ, he says, we indeed justly, concerning where they are on the cross, receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. I asked you tonight, as you listen, in some part of the country or some part of the world, when you look at these similarities, you see Christ as your only hope. Have you seen him as your only hope? Or are you not really bothered about those kind of things at the moment? Well, dear friend, you ought to be. And I trust that will be brought to your attention before we end this message. He saw Christ as his only hope. He saw Christ as higher. He saw the heinousness of his sin. But you know, he sought him from his heart. This was not a superficial get-out clause. He didn't ask to be brought down from the cross. Not at all. He's concerned about his soul, and he simply says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. We believe that from a heart that was broken regarding his sin, he's now coming to the Lord. Men and women, there's no laughing to the cross. And some YouTube channels, I'm told, that you can see people in meetings, and they're laughing and roaring, and they're laughing their way to Christ. I don't believe a word of it. Because there has to be godly sorrow for sin. And certainly there was that with this man. And he proved, even there in his last moments, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You'd only a few minutes left now when he's come to the Lord. But isn't it amazing the testimony that he left? Even as he just said those words, this man hath done nothing amiss. Remember Peter and the other disciples, they had all fled. They couldn't stand around the cross and say, well, hold on a minute, can you not spur our Lord? He's done nothing amiss. They run. And this man, totally transformed, he's willing before them all, while they're shouting away, say, he's done nothing amiss. A real conversion. Total transformation. We've noticed here that the similarities that there are here with all conversions. And we also noted here that here was a man, and he was at the very precipice of a lost eternity. And yet he was saved. But I have a final thought tonight. Mentioned there that we noticed that this is salvation verified or backed up the teaching of Christ himself. There are similarities with every conversion, but there is here a very solemn warning. Some people, I fear, misunderstand the whole event. And they look here and they think, well, I'm going to be like this dying thief. I'm going to do a few things. First of all, that I've been thinking about and planning. And then one day, I'm going to come like the dying thief. And maybe I'll not leave it just as late as he did, but I'm going to come just the same. Well, if you're thinking like that, you've missed the whole point of this part of God's word. Because this part of the word, yes, it shows us the mercy of God. But it shows us that there was one thief that wasn't saved. There was only one penitent thief. And the other man, he didn't repent. Now think of this. Here's the solemn warning. He heard the same words from the Savior, the sayings of the cross. He heard the fun being poked at Christ. He saw the same things. And he went to hell. And this man that we're looking at tonight, he was snatched from the jaws of hell. If you would look with me there in Ephesians chapter 2 quickly. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, the apostle has been reminding believers, people just like us, of how they were in their sin, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the way this man was. And then it says, but God. A friend of mine from another country one night was giving his testimony, and he says, this sums up all of my testimony. I was on a downward spiral and was getting worse by the day, but God. And it says there, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then you have there, by grace are you saved. The consequence of sin is great misery. That's where this poor man was. But folks, even though his misery was great, it wasn't as great as God's mercy. Because God saved him. And God is the antidote tonight for all of your spiritual ills. And if you will come tonight as you are, then he will pardon you. I mentioned a man who sought pardon on a human level for something he'd done from the judicial system. He didn't get it. He didn't deserve it, but he didn't get it. If you seek pardon tonight from God, you don't deserve it, but you'll get it. You'll get pardon. He will pardon you, but he will provide for you. And if it's worry about how you'll get by that's holding you back from Christ, the Lord has promised to provide all things that we need in him. And one day he will perfect you when he brings you to be with himself. And this man that we've looked at tonight for a while, how a few moments made all of the difference. But folks, don't forget the other man. The other man had every opportunity. The other man, I can't say for 100% for sure whether which of them died first. But I certainly know he was there when this penitent thief said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And he said to him, dost thou not fear God? Here's a challenge for him from the other thief. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He went out lost, and he's still lost. Men and women, the good news is that you don't have to be lost. That you tonight can come just as you are. And I trust that the Lord tonight will save you. Who knows? Who knows? Eternity might not be very far away for someone unsaved and listening. And you need to come tonight and make your peace with God.